Home team, what you think about getting Dwayne Dedman back over here?
No, because starting next year, we need to start building.
For the future.
Yeah.
That's what I said.
You need to have your center of the future in place.
He's not part of the future.
I agree.
So, no.
Okay.
Yeah, it's kind of like Drummond now. Could we get him? Yes. Would he help us start winning some games? Yeah. Is he going to be our center 4 years from now? I don't think so.
Oh, I thought he would. I think he could be.
So you would keep him?
Yeah.
If we get him, you got to re-sign
him.
See, my thing is, I'm not sure because you would have to overpay him.
You got the money.
Yeah. And the question is, you're going to have to pay somebody. Is he the guy you want to overpay?
But also, you got to ask yourself, what other options do you have?
I just pulled up this other article. What is it? Every NBA team's trade deadline shopping list.
Right.
It's
the names they got for the Hawks.
The very first one,
Andre Drummond. Number two, Steven Adams. Three,
two boys.
Dwayne Dedman. Malik Beasley. I don't think we need guard help necessarily. Backup point guard.
That's where DJ Augustine come in.
I like that one. I mean, the only thing with DJ, they can do the exact same thing to your second line as they're going to try to do to your front line.
But like you said earlier, you're going to have to drag him here kicking and screaming.
You bring DJ Augustine to the Hawks right now, but he ain't going to be happy about it. But then this is one that I like. And this is to your point with saying no to Dedman, Mo Bamba.
See, he's better. You know he'll be here longer.
Isn't he in Orlando?
And ain't seeing the floor behind Vucevic.
I was about to say, not seeing it at all.
That's what I wanted.
You worried about overpaying Drummond but not overpaying Vucevic?
Yeah, but he can score. And
But that's his boy. Vucevic is his boy.
Yeah. that's who I wanted it for you. Yeah.
I wouldn't have been mad at it, but.
He go outside, Trey. See, the other thing is, who's our center?
Of course.
Trey's going to give him some light. You're going to get 6 extra points added to your average because Trey's going to be able to
easily,
get some lob
easily.
And some dunks.
I'll be honest. And me and you was going back and forth on Twitter at the time about this. I wanted Mo Bamba over Trae Young. I wanted Ayton and Mo Bamba. The Hawks have needed a center for a very long time, though. A very, very, very long time.
As long as we've had Al Horford, we've needed a center, right?
A very, very, very long time. Exactly. Trace it back. Exactly. The Hawks have needed a center for a long time.
So Dikembe, Theo, that would be the last nice centers that we've had.
I mean, with Joe, it was Al.
Serious center.
Yeah, no, that was it. Because Al was not supposed to be a freaking center.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, yeah.
And Sharif was a power forward.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I would like Mo Bamba. I'd give up a late first for Mo Bamba.
All right, let's get this. We almost did half the show.
I'm about to say, we should have just let this roll. Bouncing with that drop. KCP in the middle. Bounce, Larry. Throw that baby down. Oh my goodness.
What hard? Are you kidding? With some anger.
How did Kyrie get out of that double team?
With the head fake. What a move by Hakeem Olajuwon.
Levine, he goes right.
Oh! Does anybody know how to post videos?
Welcome back in to the Drop Step Podcast, episode 43. I want to say thanks to Shaq Fu Radio and to Spotify for being a part of the process. I want to say thanks to everybody who's been listening. A lot to get to here in episode 43. Home team here with B-Dog. What's up, man?
Yeah, yeah.
Book the Hook.
What's happening?
And Houston.
What's going on, y'all?
We'll get into All-Star Game festivities and participants who should be where doing what. Zion Williamson said he really didn't want to. We'll get to that. And Trae Young, putting the band back together and seeing if they can get some momentum in Atlanta at State Farm Arena. And we'll start off with that as Trae Young and his comrades coming back. Kevin Huerter coming back from a couple of injuries. John Collins coming back off of suspension. They hadn't played many games together, and now it looks like they're getting themselves together. Last time out, they had a tough loss against the Nuggets, but they played well right there at the end of the game, and it looked like what we thought Atlanta Hawk basketball would be
A couple of guys getting things going early, enough firepower to stay with one of the better teams, but you just didn't have enough to finish the deal, and you got killed in the paint by the Nuggets, who scored 58 paint points, and the Joker ended up with a career-high 47.
See, the Nuggets, I knew that the Nuggets were going to come out and have to win that game because the couple of nights previous, they went into Washington and pretty much laid an egg. Not only did they get beat, they got beat by 14. And talking to Jamal Murray after the game, I remember that night in Washington, he said, I think we took this team for granted. So I didn't see them coming into Atlanta, another team that's struggling, albeit they did have a lot of their pieces back. But I didn't see a team that's ranked with the second seed in the West. I didn't see them coming into an arena of a struggling team like the Hawks and getting beat again. So I didn't expect the Joker to go for 47 like he did. He was unstoppable, basically. But to see him, what's my guy's name? Will Barton. And that was his birthday that night, too. Will Barton put up 28, had a heck of a night. Jamal Murray, it was all right. Michael Porter Jr. didn't really do much. But those guys had to come in there and make a statement against teams that you technically supposed to beat.
Man, it was crazy because the game before that, they played Indiana at home without Jabari Parker, without a couple of different role players as well, and got the W. So I was expecting them to come out and at least be competitive with Denver. I didn't want to see
them. And they were for a while.
They really were. Just kind of fell apart in the fourth quarter. You know, Denver is a more talented assembly of NBA players, so they should beat the Hawks on most nights. But it was good to see the Hawks at least compete. But that boy Joker went off, man. That was like he just killed the paint.
He couldn't miss.
You know, one thing I did want to say was that the fact that even though he went off for so many points, Alex Len did a pretty decent job on defense on him. And that may sound crazy after this cat went off for 47, however many it was. But he played a decent game. But the Joker is the Joker. You know, he's gonna fill that stat line.
At some point, we've got to get ourselves a center because I could just see this happening with other, you know, the premier bigs in the league. We just don't have that piece in the middle. So what are we going to do about it?
1-800-CALL-DRUMMOND.
Okay.
That's an interesting question. Those are reports. It's out there. Hawks and the Pistons have been in talks. The question is that a move you do now? Do you acquire him now or do you wait till he becomes a free agent and just – pay him what the market says he could get? Do you risk getting him now and he stays with the Hawks and then walks? And what do you give up? What are you willing to give the Detroit Pistons, who need some everything? They need a superstar. They need a draft pick. They need a shot at putting multiple players together. What do you give up to go out and try to secure the services of Andre Drummond if you believe he's a solution and a longer-term solution to help the Hawks win some games?
I'm not giving up the farm. I'm honestly not giving up much. But I would give up enough to get him here.
What's enough?
In my head,
in your head.
An expiring contract. I would obviously match the salary. A first-round pick. And potentially one of our guys on a rookie contract.
So, Cam.
I'd listen to the conversation. I would listen to the conversation. And then at that point, if I had to include Cam, then Detroit, you have to include something else as well.
They're going
to
want Cam, though.
Okay. Well, I want something else, too.
No, there's a report that they do want Cam and the Hawks won't budge.
That's cool, because I probably want something back as well. You know, if I'm including Cam, then I can't just walk away with Drummond and Drummond be the only asset. So, I mean, what that other asset is, another expiring contract, what it may be, I don't know. But I would do anything to get Andre Drummond here to keep him out of free agency, because at that point, as we all know, free agencies tend to not come to Atlanta on their own. So if I can get him here now, a couple months earlier, and get him used to the culture, re-sign him, then that would be my game.
How many first-round picks do the Hawks have next year?
Two more.
They have two more.
They have theirs and OKC.
This is the angle I'm coming from. I trade for him now. I do not wait for free agency because there are too many other factors, and that's a game you don't necessarily want. I'd rather take the gamble with trading for him and then hoping that you can extend him rather than playing the game with the rest of the league in free agency. Now, what is going to take to get him? I'm giving up one of the first-round picks for this year.
Mm-hmm. I'm guessing that's the Nets, because I definitely don't want to move off of Owls as bad as we doing.
You're not moving your own. You move the Nets pick. I may end up giving one of the picks up in next year's draft, too.
What if they don't want picks? Because picks is a whole lot of potential. What if they want to play? What player would you guys be willing to part ways with to get Andre Drummond in a Hawks uniform?
Then, if that's the case, then I don't know.
Is anybody untouchable? Let's just start there. We know Trae Young is untouchable.
I don't know. Trae Young is untouchable. He's the only untouchable.
I'm not sending John Collins back to Detroit to get a potential one year of Andre Drummond either, though.
True.
John Collins is not untradeable.
No, he's not.
In this scenario, I'm not sending John Collins back to Detroit.
I would say it's difficult because you need a center. He's available. I would probably say, can we just wait until free agency? Figure it out then, and then see if our money matches what he's looking for. That way you don't have to give up anything, and you have $80 million coming up in money that you're going to have to give to somebody.
Yeah, but now he has his pick of where he wants to go. And Atlanta may not necessarily be the place of his liking. To where if you trade for him, you get him in your system, you see what you want to do, maybe he may fall in love with Atlanta, but that's the only option that you have.
When we look at Zion Williamson, a report coming out that he said he wanted to stay in college and that it was his others that forced him or helped him make his decision to go to the NBA, what do we do with that? Because if the young man wanted to stay one more year and he was pressured by his family members for financial reasons, that's not necessarily the best thing, especially if he was looking to have fun or refine his game.
We talked about this before we started. If you're going to be hurt, get paid. Get paid and be hurt. Don't be hurt and go back to school and then wondering about this and then wondering about. Now, I'm not saying that he wouldn't have been the number one pick coming out next year or this year, shall I say. But, man, I get where the parents are coming from, but I think you don't necessarily have to – I don't think you listen. It's your choice, basically. And I think if he wanted to – I don't know how much he weighed this out. I don't know how – like I said, most of the – he went because his folks told him to go. And he wanted to stay. So I guess he based it off the philosophy of, hey, let me – I am this prospect. I'm one of the biggest prospects to come out since LeBron. I'm going to be paid, so let me be paid and be hurt. And that's the decision that they went with.
I think it just shows a lot of just how much your family truly influences the decisions that you make in your life as you're growing up. Because this move could be the thing that either hurts or can help him throughout his life. Because, like I said, we haven't even seen him play yet. We're still hoping for hopefully next week, right? Now, if he stayed for another year, worked on his conditioning and his body a little bit more, maybe he comes more NBA, true NBA ready when he comes out the next year or so. But due to family circumstances, you know, you never know what pressures you to be like, yo, we got this cash cow, let's go ahead and cash.
Yeah, but
it
my
in.
Thing is, I also wonder, yes, I do think that taking your family's word into consideration is very, 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 very important. But I also think, like, even with Lonzo Ball, you're a grown man. You're going to be signing your own contract. You need to start making the decision for yourself.
But how many parents in that situation are actually teaching their kids to just make that decision for themselves and aren't thinking selfishly because, yo, we all got bills?
You're right. You're absolutely right.
Like, Lonzo Ball is one in the circumstance that he actually had to where he didn't need to go into the draft or not, but his path was. But a lot of these other kids don't come from that. And if your parents see that, they're not going to sit there and be like, yo, baby, stay in school. A lot of these parents are not telling them stay in school and work on you, mm-hmm. or even just make the decision for
you. Is that bad parenting, though? Because if Zion Williamson was going to be number one pick this year, he might not be number one next year or this upcoming year per se. He's still going to be a top pick. He's still going to be a millionaire. He's still going to be highly coveted. He's still going to be playing at Duke. In theory, he's still going to be going to the NCAA tournament, so his platform would still be what it was. Would he be number one? And so striking while the iron was hot could be one thing. The other thing is it bad parenting if he could have been a better player and been better suited for the long haul had he stayed or done something he really wanted to do.
And I also think that same – look, I'm all for players going to get their money. I'm all for guys going to get paid. I'm pro player. But at the same time, that same pressure that family members could be putting on you to go to the league to get paid is the same pressure that can lead you to be being broke sooner than later because everybody now got their hand out.
Okay, but to answer your question, do I think it's bad parenting to do that? Not necessarily. It's how you package it. Yes, reality is our family's in this situation and you could be the one to help save us or whatever, or this is a great opportunity, jump on it now. But if you do not tailor that with the fact of this is your decision and we love you no matter what and it's not going to affect our relationship, unless you got to put that in there because you really are putting pressure on kids' minds.
He's 18 years old.
That's what I'm saying. He's only 18 years
and
old.
And to another.
He looked like a grown man, but I'm thinking about me at 18 years old. Definitely still a boy.
To another level, though, is it his responsibility to take care of all of his family?
No.
Because he's going to be a successful basketball player. They're still grown people
exactly.
who still have working body parts. They should still be able to get up and go to work.
So it lends more to still bad parenting because y'all should know better than to be trying to lean on your child like
we
that.
We say it won't affect some relationships, but it will for the simple fact that let's say if he did go back to Duke for a year and something happened within the family, because things happen, somebody could have been like, you know, this is expensive. If somebody would have went pro, we would have not had to worry about these expenses and things to take care of this sudden changes of events and these. I got my car repoed. I ain't got the money. But if somebody would have went pro, somebody could have taken. Things happen within a year. A lot of things can happen within 365 days.
And I say, how dare you put that on a child to sit there and even make a comment like that.
That's my point.
Let me ask y'all this. Like, if this is the happy medium, Zion, just go play overseas for a year. That's the happy medium.
Huh?
Go play overseas for a year. Like, you don't need Duke. Duke needs you.
True.
Go overseas. Get the same type of development. Get you a check that we can all eat off of if that's the ultimate problem. We can all eat off of that same check for that year and then get to the NBA.
Why? But why is everybody looking to eat off of him?
I mean, I'm just saying in that scenario. I'm just saying that's the happy medium. Because
I know blind and deaf people and people missing limbs that go to work.
Don't get me wrong.
Let's keep it a buck. We all brothers in here. We all know, especially within the black family.
Hey, once one get.
Once you got one or a few who you know are able body and of able mind at times. No, they should have been when I didn't got them a job. But as soon as they had a glimpse of you playing ball and knew that you could be a topic, cuz got it.
The boy ain't worked since Zion was 16.
Yeah.
I take $5 million, divide it up into $20,000 increments and give everybody some money and say, here, now you can't say I never gave you nothing.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm just saying, I have been on this podcast for a while now. You know, I'm a proponent for these boys foregoing the NCAA.
Right.
I'm all for these boys going overseas and continuing to strive to get to the NBA, but you don't one and done, when people hear that phrase one and done, they associate it with college automatically. But we've seen here over the last few years that it doesn't have to be college. I can take different roads to get to the NBA. And in this scenario, this is one where it's clearly a happy medium for both the player and the family. I'm not saying that it solves all issues,
right,
but in this one, it makes sense.
And he's not the first dude to have to go through that.
He won't be the last. Lastly, All-Star Game on the horizon, still have about a month to go. Locally, want to see Trae Young. I want to see him try to do everything. Skills competition.
Dunk.
Three-point. Slam dunk.
No, I don't want to see
that. All right, I've gotten a little loose.
That's one thing I don't want to see.
You know, as exciting it might be to have him in all this stuff, I don't want to wear him out and then have to come back into the regular season again and still be the best player for our team, too.
I want to see him versus Luka in a couple of those sequences.
Rising stars.
3-point.
This is the type of stage that he's made for.
Like, he could really do all of them.
Yes.
Oh, man.
I hope he does.
This has got to be exhausting.
This is the type of stage that Trae Young is made for. I would imagine that Trae Young is licking his chops at the opportunity to put a lot. Because, you know, Trae Young is having one of the best seasons in the NBA this year, but there aren't a lot of people that can say they've seen it. We live in Atlanta, so we can see it. I guarantee you, when he gets on the national stage and is able to show these people what they've been hearing about and then continue to see. I think this will help Trae Young do even better in the second half of the season.
Trae Young versus Luka Doncic in the skills challenge, the three-point contest, and hopefully they're on different teams so they can go at each other in All-Star.
Let's go.
Because it's World versus – is it still World versus USA in the Rising Stars? Then they would be. They would be. Yeah, at that point.
That'll do it for this episode of the Drop Step Podcast. Make sure you check us out, Shaq Fu Radio. Thank you very much, Diesel. We want to say thanks to the fine folks there and the folks at Spotify. We'll see you next time. Book the Hook, B-Dog for Houston, the home team. We'll see you on Drop Step Podcast.
We out.
Peace.
All right.
Let me see what they got over here for the Lakers. Shopping list.
Please.
Guard.
I'll go get the cart myself.
Guard.
What's the names on there?
Oh, I'm about to pull it up. Hold on. Just before I even read y'all's, I got to the Clippers first. Drew Holiday, Marquise Morris, Marcus Morris, DJ Augustine, and Willie Cauley-Stein. If they get any of those cats, and y'all don't get nothing,
it's a wrap.
Bro.
You take Cauley-Stein so that way Harold don't have to play so much.
No. So this is how the Lakers and the Clippers are at the trade deadline and with anything. One of the guys, you may not even need them. One is going to take one just so the other don't get it. Yeah.
Hey, remember what I told you I'm basing this off of? What I'm basing the Clippers versus the Lakers off of? Take them out their jerseys, put them in street clothes, and make them fight. All of them dudes can fight. Every single one of them dudes can fight. I have zero doubt about it. Every one of them can fight.
Especially the Morris twins.
Bro, stand by. Like, let them get one of them.
Yeah.
Hey. It sounds crazy, but like.
No, I get
a whole
you.
Bunch like, of hockey
the intimidation
but you know what?
Is a factor, that's, man. Like,
but
I'm telling
you. Slick, that's the way that I've always looked at it. Because when I see their team, I see toughness up and down. Like, Pat Bev is like. We ain't even got to Kawhi and Paul. Pat Bev is a dog.
You put Pat Beverly and either one of them Morris twins on the court together, team.
It might be a murder for real.
It's going to be a fight.
It's going to be a murder for real.
Seriously. Here go y'all. All right, so Markieff Morris, Jay Crowder, Andre Iguodala, Marcus Morris, and DJ Augustine. They're the same
thing. We can fight too.
Y'all, but you can see they trying to counter. Yeah. Like the exact same thing. Like, they trying to get tough.
Yeah. Y'all don't have enough bodies.
Man, you hit me upside my head like that.
Zaza Pachulia.
Oh, good call. Yeah, there it is.
There's our last.
That's your last real center in Atlanta.
I forgot about Zaza.
Zaza.
But when Zaza came back here with the Mavericks, but we treated him like he was.
They love Zaza. Love. That dude is.
That's what I love.
Zaza.
Come on, let's go ahead and actually put this show on record.
Hey, y'all, we got plenty of ways for y'all to check us out, so make sure that you go subscribe on either Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean, or even Shaq Fu Radio, which plays our podcast every Wednesday and Saturday night. You can also catch us on YouTube channels for the Drop Set Podcast, 680 The Fan, and Atlanta Sports Set. And last but not least, make sure you check out the Drop Step on IG, Twitter, and Facebook.